Jack and Jill here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about work ethic disappointment.
It's funny when you say the word disappointment.
I feel compelled to quote my partner, Jill.
Uh-oh.
In her immediate question before the show. What the heck could you possibly mean by work ethic disappointment? And here's my answer. All the people in our group who are knocking it out of the park, us included, financially buying and selling houses and land, have this level of work ethic that they bring to the table long before they ever choose to get involved in our group. And it's really, really disappointing when I see people who are incredibly talented and really bright that just don't have that work ethic discipline.
Right.
And I'm going to plug my heritage a little bit here. A lot of people from the Midwest seem to have a work ethic, level of work ethic that I see not as prevalent as people from the core East Coast and the West Coast.
Careful.
That's why this show is going to be funny.
Careful.
Because Jill's going to get into it with me. I'm sure of it.
Don't dig a hole.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. This, I recall you showing me because this was awesome. This is not so much a question. This is so much as sharing some valuable knowledge and information to our folks. So we have two members, Daniel and Miriam, who are working together, their team, partners, and they shared this, and so I'm just going to read what they did. It said, after scrubbing a number of lists, we have slowly developed a simple scrubbing checklist. We want to share that with other investors that may just be starting off or those who would like a step-by-step guide to make life easier. Here is a little video introduction about the scrubbing checklist, and then click here and it links to their video. And then here is a link to the Google Docs. Click here. Links to a beautiful step-by-step thing to when scrubbing.
Truly detailed and amazing.
So good. If you have any additional questions or thoughts, feel free to reach out anytime. We'll do our best to help where we can. Cheers.
So what happens is, and thank you so much, fellas, for doing this. What happens is that when you pull up a data source like RealQuest or DataTree or any of the data sets that you use, you start with the universe of properties in any given geographic area. So let's say all the properties in Scottsdale, Arizona, or all the properties in Mojave County, Arizona, or Manhattan, New York, anywhere in the country. And you have to scrub down from there to get to the owners where you think they're going to respond to some letter. And that's what these people have addressed in a truly mechanical and interesting way. Mm-hmm. We all have a little bit of a different take on it, but if you're brand new, it's going to be daunting. So go to Land Investors and keyword search Miriam, M-I-R-I-A-M, and you will eventually find it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me, this might be in a pro forum, so I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
So let me back up here.
Forget what I said then.
Yeah. So like Jack's saying, these are people in our community who have learned from us and our stuff, how we scrub our lists, and they just made another list and kind of put their flair on it. So, and we have a open environment in our online community, and then we have a closed environment in our online community. I'm not 100% sure which one this came from. So if you go look for this and you can't find it, that's why.
Blame
Jack, or become a member. So, I mean, that's, and the point for me here is A, awesome job. B, thanks for sharing. C, that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. And our community is doing so well. We have created by design a wonderful community where we all work together and help each other. Because you know what? At the end of the day, we all know there's enough property go around. We got this. And all we're doing is helping each other do bigger and better deals together. I will get off my soapbox now.
Here's some funny stuff that Jill says around the house for no reason. You got this. You got this.
I do. Sorry.
Hold, please.
I do that, too.
I'm cooking right now. Hold, please.
I'm cooking right now. I don't say that often.
Here's how I grew. Here's those two those two phrases could be easily be something else, and this is how I grew up.
Oh, boy.
Shut the hell up and sit down. I'm cooking. Jill says, hold, please.
Wait, here's another one. I want a jack one.
Hold on. This is a compliment for you.
Okay.
You got this. Meaning, you know, whatever I'm trying at, I'm dismally failing at. So right. In my childhood, it would have been, you're good for nothing.
Oh.
Jill says, you hold, please. You got this.
Can I share with some things that you say around the office and the home? Which is, number one, of course, we all know word calories. And number two is, get to know your equipment. And usually when he says it, it doesn't come out at all like that. It's pretty mad.
My mouse isn't working. Really? Get to know your equipment.
Or get the hell out of here. That's really what it's like. Oh, wait. My another one of my favorites is, this is sounding like a diaper change.
Yep. Here's another one that I love. Everyone's so sick of hearing.
Oh, yes.
Next topic.
Yes. Oh, yes.
A question quickly can become a vent. V-E-N-T, not E-V-E-N-T.
A rant. R-A-N-T. On that note, can we please get to the topic?
How do we twist a Jill compliment, into a Jack disaster?
What? Was that a compliment? My stuff?
Hold, please, is a beautiful, wonderful thing.
I thought
you were
making
fun
of me.
No, I love that you have these little snippet things that are just, I mean, the kids love it too.
I thought you were making fun of me.
No.
Oh, okay, sorry, I take that back.
You got this. That's a good thing, Jill.
Oh,
They're
I thought you were making fun of me there too. All right, there's me. Can you be more vague?
A little bit, like it's a cute little sentence of encouragement, like Mary Poppins would say it.
I know. That's why I thought you were poking at me.
Jill, I'm serious.
Oh.
Those are good things. That's what makes you very unique. Most people are really angry.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. Today's topic, speaking of anger.
And taking things wrong, out of context.
Work ethic disappointment. This is the meat of the show. In the line of business that we're in, we get to meet a lot of people and work with a lot of people who bring a lot of different stuff to the table. And one of the things that we can't teach, and a lot of people fail because of it, is work ethic. Regardless, why is it so funny?
I'm sorry.
You can laugh out loud. It's a radio show.
You're just making me giggle. Oh, God. If we could teach this, we would be trillionaires. Or I don't know what.
Work ethic.
Yes.
Is very tough.
Man.
You know, work ethic I define as just, you just won't quit.
You can't teach it.
You don't know when you've been beat, or you just get up and keep moving forward matter what. So I've seen more people recently that are so incredibly intelligent. They just, for whatever reason, they just don't have the work ethic or the stick-to-itive. There's a million words for it. To get through actually completing their first mailer. Because once you complete your first mailer, in my opinion, and you get a bunch of people calling you back telling you that you're some version of the devil, and then you get a couple of people calling you back saying, man, your timing is perfect, I would love to sell you this property for this price, this price is perfect, tell me what to do next, and then you actually own a piece of property for the first time, it's truly an amazing, you're either addicted or you hate the process, you know, one of the two. Vast majority of the people are get addicted like me. So, but you'll never get to that point unless you just overcome all the little things that happen along the way. And this is not Mailer or Land Academy or real estate specific. It's everything. It's just the way life is.
Do you think it's nature or nurture?
I think it's absolutely nurture.
What?
And I think most things are nature.
I think it's nature. Well, that's funny.
I think it's absolutely the vast majority of it is how you are raised.
Seriously?
And how you saw your parents, what your parents' work ethic is. Absolutely.
All right. That's where you kind of go
very young East Coast,
West Coast, and then the Midwest, and how you, that's because you think it's nurture.
I'll give you an example.
All right.
Geography-based example. And it's not necessarily work ethic, but it shows a difference. I went through my sister still lives in Michigan. And I went to visit her, and we went to a AAA baseball game. And we sat in the outfield because that's where the cheap seats are, which was grass. And we all sat there, and the game ended. And everyone left, and there was not one speck of trash left anywhere in that whole grass. Yeah. you and I know, we go to a million baseball games in Arizona during spring training, and there's nothing but trash everywhere.
Right.
So there's some huge core value differences and work ethic type differences based on geography.
Huh.
And no one here can tell me that the East Coast is clean, because it's a disaster.
Uh-huh.
A disastrous mess.
Well, I was wondering, I don't know what the beaches are like there. Our beaches are pretty clean here. We have a pretty good pride of community, I guess, and our environment here where we live. I know it wasn't always like that. It's
people
changed.
On the West Coast, I've noticed, for, and this is not a judgment, it's just an observation, tend to live in front of each other. And people in the Midwest tend to, like, go back into their cave at least a certain portion of the day and do stuff. Like, but everyone out West, I don't know if it's Hollywood or what, seems to just, like, they want to put on a show in front of the next person.
Very interesting. Like, open up the windows, open up the doors. For me, I see it as inviting. I just want to hang out with everybody. I'm a people person.
I think a lot of work gets done, regardless of what you're working on, when you just close the curtains and sit down in front of the computer or whatever you're working on by yourself quietly and get a bunch of stuff done, and regardless of how it looks, regardless of the quality of the office space, regardless of the quality of the people who are working for you or not working for you, you just actually sit there until you get it done to your satisfaction. And that's what I think work ethic really is. Like, yep, it's done, and I love it.
That's interesting.
I can tell you've actually never thought about this before, which is kind of making my point.
What? Jack! Oh, I can't believe you said that.
You got this, Jill.
My goodness. What the heck? I can't believe you just said that. That is so not true. I first would like to add...
You know I have nothing but liquid respect for
I
you.
Do.
You know that.
But you know what's funny about this? I really was sitting here going into the show thinking it's nature. Get over it. It's just how you are. You're born that way. But now I'm actually changing... You're making me rethink this, because you know what? I was raised by two Midwest parents.
I know.
And
although I never met your father, I know, based on the stories, that there was no lack of work ethic there.
None. No, the guy didn't know how to call in sick.
There was Which is why I think you have it.
Yeah.
Because you saw your parents do that when you were little, you're really, really young.
That's what I was thinking. And they did do a good job of instilling responsibility and chores and things like that. I mean, it's just, you don't think about it.
I think it's tragic in the industrial age here. We're coming off of it, I guess, or probably technically out of it, where parents just, they just get up in the morning and go to work, and the kids just don't have any real example except for what goes on in school to see any type of work ethic.
Oh.
You know, I think in the agricultural era, the kids worked alongside their parents until they got it done. And I think that sets a good example.
Well, I think one thing, though, that kids do see that makes a difference is if their parents do get up and go to work. Seriously. If they see their parents leaving consistently all the time, Monday through Friday, they're not late, they have their briefcase, they're ready to start their day, I think that's a great foundation. I don't think that that's something to sneeze at.
It's better than doing nothing, but I still think they don't know where the heck they're going and what they do or any of that, especially when they're real little.
The
I think
kids
all
are
this
the
stuff
parrots.
Gets, maybe, the, you know.
Well, I'm going in again today. Not sure what I'm going to get done. I don't know what's happening.
All
here.
I know is that I got to get the hell out of here right
that's
now.
That's true. that's right. Daddy leaves earlier and earlier to work.
All these things are taught, I believe, you know, who knows, at an extremely young age, you know, before the age of five.
Yeah. They see it. They get it.
Right.
I know. Well, you know what's funny about this is I've worried about this with our children, especially number three, because he was the youngest.
Yeah, me too.
During this whole last couple years phase that we've been doing. And I worried that because we always, you know, we do a pretty good job, I think, of, well, I don't know. We might do a crappy job, but.
I'm sure we do.
I do. I think in my mind, it's good. of having fun with the kids. Like we aren't constantly working. If anything, I don't want the kids to know if it's hard or any problems, you know, that I want the kids to see us when we're home having a good time with them, right? So, and we're home a lot. And so, and they can all, they, I've very rarely have a child walk in my office at home and I say, you know, or there's never a sign, I just certainly don't have a sign on the door. Their door's not closed. You know, they can pretty much come in and ask me anything at any time. And I, so I've tried to make sure that, do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Okay. That.
Where are you going?
I kind of, I don't know. I kind of lost it myself. Wait, my point is.
It's easy to send the wrong message with right intention.
Right. That's if you work from home and you're available for your kids and they say on a Tuesday because they had a half day, you know, let's go for a bike ride. And you go, sure. I don't want them to send the message that nothing gets done.
Right.
I don't have a good work ethic, that I'm always just able to goof off or want to goof off, which I really do.
Me too.
But my work is more important.
You know, if the kid's getting good grades, number three is getting great grades and he's a good kid, I'm not too worried.
Right.
But I completely share, we've never talked about this, completely share your concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the way computers are, specifically, the kid's what, 14 or 15?
14.
With the other two kids, they're so much older, computers, the level of freedom that computers afford you now, especially in a work environment, working from home is very realistic. Doing a real estate deal in Maine for us is ridiculously realistic right mm-hmm. now. Never having to go there and getting it done in a week and a half.
Right.
So that maybe that's the message now. That responsibility requires even more work ethic.
It does.
And focus because of the bike thing you just said.
Yes.
So maybe that's the message that we need to be delivering. And maybe we do. Maybe we don't. I don't
maybe
know.
We're trying right here. If anyone is still listening.
I know that I developed this whole podcast so that we actually could avoid real work. I know that.
I do know that. You've done a very good job with it. So that's good. I think we conveyed our message.
You've done it again. Spend another 20 minutes listening to the Jack Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss meeting people, employees, and sellers from where they come.
And we answer your question, should you have one, post it on jackjill.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Yep, 20 minutes, you'll never get back.
No, you know, I've spent so... Some people I deal with, whether they're employees or... Not so much employees, but... So I see members, the ones that, especially that I have calls with, they're so talented. They just can't, for some reason, sit and look at themselves in the mirror and say, no matter what happens, I'm going to get this first mailer out. And no matter what happens, if that mailer doesn't work the way I wanted it to, I'm going to send another one out and another one and another one until we own a bunch of property and we're reselling it. And the machine, you know, until the pistons actually fire, that mm-hmm. first piston needs to fire to get the other ones going.
That's true. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, we met with one of our members here locally recently, and he said took him a couple mailers to really get it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that was good
and
that he
the
didn't
third
stop.
One, he's killing it.
Right. Yeah, this one kind of bombed. I said, you know, would you underpriced? You know, and it's usually a quick thing. What happened? Oh, I overpriced or I underpriced, whatever it is. You usually know right away. So that's fine. So you don't stop there. You figure out what it is and move on, like you're saying.
Right.
And some of the smartest people sometimes have trouble with that.
Exactly.
I get it. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.